Our text beginning morning sermon is coming from 1 John chapter 2. If you'd like to turn over there and follow along in your Bibles with me, 1 John chapter 2. And I'm going to take this morning sermon and cut it into two parts. At Fairborn, our lessons go to about 30, 35 minutes, and so it's kind of hard for me to kind of divvy that down to about 20 minutes or so. So I'm going to take this lesson into two parts. We'll do the first part till what was it, 10:40 or so that you guys go to roughly, and then we'll do the second part at the second portion of the sermon this morning as well. But the Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, beginning with verse 15, we'll read down to verse 17, and I've got the Old King James if you're following along with me this morning. It says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever." The last Olympic Games that took place, which was what, about a year, year and a half ago or so, my daughter and I were watching the swim competition, and there the video went to this one individual, and my daughter Harper, if you don't know her well enough by now, has no filter, and at 4 years old at that time, just questions and things come up on her mind that you think to yourself, how am I going to get out of this? I couldn't get out of this question, but they panned over to this individual, and she said, "Dad, is that a girl or a boy?" And so, I just said, "Well, you know, honey, that's a boy. They're going to go into the men's competition here in just a minute, to the swim competition." And then all of a sudden, the name appeared at the bottom of this individual's profile, and the name was Amy something. I forget what the last name was. And so as a father, I had to kind of do a double take and think, oh my goodness, that looked like a boy. I told my daughter that was a boy because of the way they're dressed and because of their profile, and it ended up being a completely different sex. And so as an end result, I kind of thought to myself, where is our society continuing to evolve by the clothes and by our appearances that we have as human beings? And then in addition to that, more recently, I've gone to several other congregations, gospel meetings and singings and stuff like that. And I walk into the Lord's church and I see on Christian leaders and Christian brethren in Christ that I almost have to pick my jaw up off of the drawer and put it back off the floor, I should say, and put it back on my face. And so I think to myself, sometimes we get away from the whole concept of modesty and what it is all about. But in addition to that, I've also heard gospel sermons where preachers stand before the pulpit and give to the congregation what the dress code is according to the Bible. And I'm talking about, ladies, you have to have skirts on that go all the way down to your ankles. You have to wear turtlenecks in addition to that, right? Men, you have to have a shirt and tie and a suit coat on if you're going to be behind the pulpit. And I hope I'm not offending anybody by not having a suit coat on this morning. I woke up kind of hot feeling, and so I just kind of put a shirt and tie on. And if I'm offending anybody, I'll apologize and let me know after worship, and I'll make sure that I do a suit coat next time. But I've heard all of these different theories and all of these different doctrines, so to speak, on what it takes for a successful Christian to dress properly. And so what I thought I would do is just talk about modesty, but not only just the outward appearance, but what the gospel actually teaches from the inside appearance as well. I'm a guy, and obviously I'm dressed like a guy, and I am a guy, I promise you that. But obviously I'm taking my approach from a man's perspective. When I read 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16, it says, "For all that is in the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of this world." I think most of us are adults in the audience this morning. We have an adult mind. And so I'm going to keep this as PG as much as I possibly can. But as a man, and I think all of us as guys, we know what we find attractive for members of the opposite sex. And likewise, ladies, we know, I think most of us know, maybe some of us don't, know what you find attractive in us as guys. The Bible is very clear cut that we cannot lust after one another, when it comes to these body parts, when it comes to these functions, so to speak, because as it says, if we have that lust within us, all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, is not of God, not of the Father, but of the world. And so those are the kind of things that I want to focus on and talk about, because again, we understand, we're adults, we understand what we find attractive in members of the opposite sex. But now we need to know and understand what God wants and expects of us when it comes to aspects like that. And I think it's very, very important that we have that discussion and we talk about that. Did I just blank myself out? There we go. So from an introductory standpoint, modesty, and I'm sorry guys if that's a little small to see, modesty is important to God, not because it's merely about dress code, but it's a reflection of the heart. And I don't think that gets talked about nearly enough. Modesty starts, I'm going to talk more about this as it goes along, modesty starts with the heart. And that's what God's overall purpose and meaning is about modesty, is how it starts with the heart. And then is it later expressed in an outward behavior that is molded by the gospel of Jesus Christ. So oftentimes, you can see somebody, have you ever been around a fake person, we'll say, right? It's somebody, on the outward appearance, they're acting like one thing, but then you know that person, you know that's not their behavior, you know they don't talk like that, and so they're appearing to be somebody completely different. And that is because they're not being who they are inside their hearts, inside their own mindset, right? They're being somebody completely different. And so with the gospel, in addition to all about is it starts within the heart. That's a big deal. I commend Cody with doing a great Bible study this morning in Old Testament law and New Testament law as well, right? When it came to worship, you had to sacrifice a specific animal and do things specifically with its body and then do things specifically with the blood and all that kind of stuff. Whereas in our worship today, it starts right here. We take God with us. We take Christ with us everywhere that we go. And so it starts within the heart. I really come to question, and obviously I'm not here at this congregation, so I don't know what you guys preach and practice all the time. I should say preach all the time, but talk of modesty in the church has completely almost been decimated. I personally don't hear it very much, and I don't see very many sermons done on it anymore. And if I do hear a sermon done on modesty, again, it gets into very specific dress codes that are not preached in the Bible, unfortunately. But it's almost completely left the church, and it has definitely left society. My wife and I went to our local mall, Fairfield Commons Mall in Beaver Creek, just last night, and I saw this young lady that could not have been over 10, 11, maybe I'll give her 12 years old, in clothing that I don't know, even know that, forgive me for saying this, if a prostitute would have ended up wearing. My mind was bought. I just couldn't believe it. And even my daughter's young friends that I see at school and sometimes are wearing things in the school systems today. And I'm thinking to myself, what is happening? Why? Even when I graduated high school back in 2003, there's no way the women in our school could have worn something like that, especially that short or that revealing. And so sometimes we see people say, well, it's just gone out of style. It's outdated. We don't need to talk about it anymore. Things are arbitrary. It's you can do whatever you want to do, so to speak. Talk of modesty is deemed an unfashionable at best, right? Wear what you want to wear. Who cares? As long as you're feeling confident, and hopefully I can say this word, as long as you're feeling confident, as long as you're feeling sexy or beautiful or attractive within your own body, that's all that matters. We don't need to worry about what other people think or do. I've oftentimes heard this as well. Hey, if a man lusts after me, well, that's his problem, not mine. I've heard sisters in Christ say a statement like that. If he lusts after me, that's his problem and not mine. And I think you'll find in the sermon this morning that is the complete opposite of the truth of what the Bible teaches. And it seems as harsh, it seems as repressive at worst. How dare you tell me what I can and cannot wear? As a Christian soldier of the cause of Jesus Christ. The Oxford Dictionary defines modesty as this quality or state of being unassuming or moderate. Behavior, manner, or appearance intended to avoid indecency. And so what modesty is a direct reciprocal effect of what we see in society today. Modesty is about taking the back seat. It's not being in the limelight. It's not saying, look at me, grab the attention to me, let all the attention and focus come upon me. And I dare say, I'm not trying to pick on our sister or the ladies in society or anything of that nature, but I've seen some of the most revealing shirts when you walk into your local malls and stuff. Even on television, you see some of the most revealing shirts from women, and you know good and well what their intention is for wearing such a revealing shirt. It's even more detrimental when you see a sister in Christ doing that. Just a couple of years ago, my wife, this family no longer assembles with us and have since moved and everything. They're an Air Force family, but we went out to lunch after worship, and this one sister was sitting right across from us and had one of the most revealing shirts on I've ever seen a sister in Christ wearing. And we were at Wendy's, and the tables were kind of small, so she was literally right there. And on the opposite side of her was, I think, four or five guys and one female. And so you got afterwards, a couple of the brother and I were talking, saying, come on, man. Like, she knows better than that. And we had to have a conversation about that. But it's so sad to see when knowing good and well, like I said at the introductory part of this, what us guys find attractive in a female, and they almost exploit that. They use that to their advantage. Being modest, again, in society, but let alone the Lord's church, is almost, unfortunately, friends, non-existent. Another definition of this is the quality of being modest, or freedom from vanity, boastfulness, and etc. Regard for decency of behavior, speech, dress, simplicity, and moderation. What about in the Hollywood time frame, right? Or the Hollywood actors and actresses going to these big galas and award shows and stuff? And on they have the pre-show, right? The red carpet pre-show, and they'll say, "Well, what are you wearing tonight?" And so they'll say, you know, Michael Kors or whatever the case is, and the fine jewelry that costs $25,000, $30,000, and the dresses that cost several hundred thousands of dollars. And LeBron James just the other day was on television and had on a pair of $1,000 shorts and had on the pair of headphones. I mean, that our society is enamored with this kind of stuff. Who's wearing what, and is it the most attractive? And then after the award show, the day after, you have the gossip people on the Hollywood Access shows that then rate who was best. What was so-and-so thinking about not being more revealing the way that they were, and so on and so forth. And these are the role models that our children are after today, unfortunately. There's just none of this being modest or free from vanity, free from boastfulness. Our society today is on the flip side of this. We are vain. We do boast. There is no decency of behavior. There is definitely no decency of speech, let alone dress. And there's just no simplistic natured folks in our society, again, let alone the Lord's church these days. Some synonyms behind this is a humility, decency, being reserved, being constrained, being chasteness, being quietness, having this just kind of backseat approach. Again, all things you don't find in society anymore. From the opposite side of that, pride, being conceit, being shamelessness. But before we go any further, I think it's important to note a couple verses behind modesty and behind this overall subject line. And the first thing that I want us to understand and to grasp is that God knows what's best for all of us. God knows what's best for all of us, and that's including how we dress and what we put on inside and out. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, he says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." He created man and woman, right? He knows what attracts each other to the opposite sex. He knows what makes us click, so to speak. And as an end result, he also knows our best methodologies. A case in point in that is Adam and Eve, right? Where they realized their nakedness, they sewed together themselves these fig leaves. And God said, no, I know a little bit better than that. And so in Genesis chapter 3, I think it was around verse 20, 21, 22, he put together then coats of skin and ended up clothing them. And I've heard so many gospel preachers revert back to that and say, well, look at the type of clothing that God put on people. That's the kind of clothing that we need to have on today. I'm here to ease your minds, brothers and sisters in Christ. Nowhere does it say that we as Christians have to put on these coats of skin to clothe ourselves. And so I want to kind of caveat that just a little bit. And so we got to understand that God knows what is best for all of us. And secondarily, we have to be, are we willing to humble ourselves a little bit? You know, maybe at the conclusion of this sermon or a week or a month from now, maybe something was said today or a thought came into your mind and maybe you're thinking to yourself, you know what? Maybe I do need to get rid of that pair of jeans, or maybe I do need to get rid of that top. I've talked to, you know, along the lines of females this morning, but guys, it's with us as well. Hey, you know what? Maybe I do need to mow with a shirt on. You know, maybe I don't need to go to the gymnasium and wear some of the clothing that I wear. Maybe I do need to cover up a little bit more. And I'll be frank with you, and I know it's somewhat of a joke, but there are guys in society today that mow with no shirt on that, let's just face it, need to have a shirt on, if you know what I mean. You know, there are people at the gym that I go to on base that are wearing clothing, and you know good and well that it's not just comfortable clothing. They are trying to gauge the interest of members of the opposite sex, and it's guys included. And so we have to ask ourselves, am I willing to humble myself? The Bible tells me in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 2, thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God created thee 40 years in the led thee, 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed him with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know. And you can read the rest of it as well. I've got another verse on this in Psalms chapter 25, beginning with verse 9. Come on. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek he will teach his way. Maybe you've got questions on articles of clothing that you have. Maybe you're looking at something in your closet and you think to yourself, you know what, that's kind of borderline. I don't know if I should do it or not. Humble yourself a little bit. Show a meek and quiet spirit and allow God to guide you in the judgment of if that's an appropriate piece of clothing or not. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. I've legitimately had conversations with Christians about apparel, and at the end of that conversation was, man, you need to catch up with the times a little bit. You know, I don't know why you're living back in the 60s and 70s, but we can wear these kind of things today. It's kind of how our society has evolved, and we can do it in the church as well. We're going to open up that can of worms. You might as well open up to all kinds of subjects, like Cody was talking about in our Bible study this morning. You might as well open it up to everything else. Well, once saved, always saved. You can believe that, that's fine, or so on and so forth, you know. God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humility goes a long way, especially within modesty. So I'm going to look at these next two slides, and this portion of the lesson will be yours, because here's the scriptures that we're going to be focusing on, obviously, and both of them kind of say the exact same thing. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 through 4, he says, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, may be won by the conversation of the wives. This has nothing to do with me primarily, but this is one of my favorite passages of verses in verse 1 here. How awesome is that to know that, ladies and sisters in Christ, you don't need to be a minister, you don't need to stand up before the pulpit in front of an audience of people to create a message or to vocalize a message in any way, shape, or form. Just by how you treat your husbands, just by how you conduct yourself as a woman, and more in particular, as a sister in Jesus Christ, you are teaching folks that have never even cracked open a Bible before. How awesome is that? And think about this. The way you conduct yourself and teach your husband is completely polar opposite on what society teaches you. Society teaches you, hey, be misindependent. You don't need a man in your life. You can do these things and so on and so forth. You can be misindependent. And if you don't get along with your husband, well, hey, just go pay a lawyer to write down a reconcilable differences on a divorce hearing or what have you, and then you can walk away and go marry someone else. Go find someone else that's going to accept you for who you are as a female. Christian women, again, if any obey not the word, they without the word, they that have never even opened a Bible, not even know a lot about Jesus Christ, may be won by the conversation, how you conduct yourself as simply a wife. But he goes on here in verse 2 and says, while they behold your chaste conversation, coupled with fear, coupled with respect for you, they're listening to you, they're studying you, and how you conduct yourself as a female, and how you conduct yourself as a wife. And they respect you for that. Whose adorning, verse 3, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair or of wearing of gold or the putting on of apparel. Don't focus so much on who you are on the outside. Don't focus so much on the things that you have on the outside. Why? Because the outside person will take care of themselves when we look at verse 4. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, going back to what we just talked about, which is in the sight of God of great price. So, modesty, this is what we need to, if you hear nothing else from me this morning, understand this concept. Modesty starts within us, not on the outside appearance. Modesty, and gentlemen as well, modesty starts within our heart. If our hearts are humble, if our hearts are meek, and if our hearts have this quiet spirit, the outside person's going to take care of themselves. And I think that's sometimes lost in translation. We focus so much. I literally, about 5 or 6 years ago, and I need to wrap up here, about 5 or 6 years ago, we had this Christian come in who was bipolar, had bipolar disorder, came in with a very, very revealing shirt to our worship services. And so we were all like, okay, guys, let's focus. We're here to worship God, and you know, we'll work with them. We'll try to help them out as best we possibly can. But the overall message and concept wasn't about, I wonder where her heart is. I wonder if she's struggling. I wonder what's going on. This is something that was not becoming of this person at all. Our mind immediately shifted to the outward person. Why is she doing that? Doesn't she know better than this? What's her overall mindset? Why is she doing this stuff? Instead of, man, she must be struggling. This isn't like her. Something's going on. Maybe her marriage is rocky, or maybe something's happened. But that's humanistic nature, isn't it? We judge the person by the cover before we ever open up and to read inside the book. And unfortunately, that's humanistic nature, like I said. But again, this hidden man of the heart, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. So ladies, again, just by how you conduct yourself, just by how you talk to your husband, just by how you dress with inside of yourself, you are teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that message needs to go to all of our friends that decide to have women pastors and women teachers and, you know, up in the pulpit and doing those kind of stuff. Hey, you don't need to do those things. God did not design you to become a pastor or a preacher or minister or what have you. God didn't design you for that. God designed you to be better than even your husband in the sense of how you treat your husband and how you treat other folks. And this last verse will be yours. This last verse and the lesson will be yours here this morning. And it's in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9 through 15. It says, in like manner also women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. Good luck teaching that to Hollywood, right? Hey, you don't need all that stuff. Just show up to the award show. Be humble, be quiet, be meek, you know? You don't have thousands and thousands and millions of dollars of jewelry and dresses and stuff like that. Now, this isn't to say, ladies, that you can't go out if you've, you know, using your money wisely and stuff like that. You can't go out and do something nice for yourself or buy yourself a nice dress or, you know, a nice top or whatever the case is, and gentlemen as well. That's not to say you can't. But if you also, you start going in debt, thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, and start racking up the credit cards and stuff like that on mall shopping sprees and stuff like that, it starts to become a problem, especially in the Lord's church. But he says here in verse 10, but which becomes professing godliness, women professing godliness with good works, let the women learn in silence with all subjection. I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, and then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was the transgression, was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. This goes back to what I just talked about a little bit ago. God did not design you guys to be the teachers, right? To be the preachers, to take on this specific role, much like a role that I'm taking on this morning. God designed you guys to be quiet and meek and humble, and to show forth just how you live your life, how you're teaching Jesus Christ. And I believe, brothers and sisters in Christ, that is a lost art in the Lord's church today. I really and truly believe that. Because it's a special thing. It's a God-given principle that He's given to our sisters in Christ on just how you conduct yourself both inside and out, and how you're able to teach and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ that way. The next segment of our lesson this morning, we'll be covering the three things that modesty involves. And so hope everyone's able to stay with us and to cover that sermon. And we'll do that momentarily after our worship, after our second segment, at the start of our second segment this morning. If you are in the audience, though, and maybe we've said a couple of things that has pricked you in the heart, and maybe said some things that is on your mind and want to come in obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ, we take that opportunity now. But if you are a Christian, maybe you're suffering with some things, or maybe that you are just overall struggling with some concepts of Christianity or things in your walk of life with God, let us pray with you. Let us pray for you. And that's exactly what we're here to do. We can help you in any way. Let us know while together we stand and sing at this time.